Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Read with me. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Scott. As I was reading this week some various things, I came across this article that was titled, The Power of Consistency. And it asked the question within this article, are you stopping short of the finish line because you're not being consistent in your life? And in the article, the author argues that consistency is, in fact, the difference in our lives between failure and success. He goes on to give these reasons why. He says, consistency creates a means by which you can measure effectiveness. Consistency creates accountability in your life. Consistency establishes your reputation before others. And consistency maintains the message that you want others to get. And the moral here is that simply if you're not consistent in the way you live your life, then your life is one that sends mixed signals or mixed messages to people. And no one really knows where you stand. The truth is, though, I think that we love consistency in our life. I mean, for those of you who eat steak, if you like to order your steak from medium rare. Anybody medium rare? One? My wife? Yeah. But if you like to order your steak medium rare, but it come well done, how disappointed are you going to be? We like consistency in baseball with our pitchers. We want a pitcher that can consistently hit the target, not just get the ball over the plate, because sometimes we don't want the ball over the plate. So you want someone who can consistently hit the target. And if they can't, then we need to take them off of the mound. We need consistency in our cars, right? You want consistency with your brakes, don't you? If it's raining outside, you want consistency with your windshield wipers. I remember once I pulled up to a stoplight and it was not raining very hard, so it was a light sprinkle, but the car next to me, the guy had some kind of contraption rigged up where he was just pulling on this cord and it was making his windshield wiper, go back and forth. And I thought to myself, well, I hope it doesn't rain any harder, you know, his arm will wear out. But again, I think the truth is that we like consistency regarding the things of our life. But our question today is, are you consistent with your life in walking with Jesus? I believe that's the statement that John would really want us to consider most of all. It's what we see in this sixth verse as he says, he who abides in him being Jesus, he who abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk as he, as Jesus, walked. Now, there's two words here I really want us to zero in on as we begin here. Beginning with this one, John said first, he says he abides with Jesus. The word abide is one that has the objective of being consistent. The word abide technically means to continue or to remain. But again, it has within that the objective of being consistent in our life. But then John says, if you abide in Jesus, you ought. That's a word we might not use very often, but he said we ought to walk as Jesus walked. Now the word ought, you might not be so familiar with that word again because we don't always use that very much, but it's actually a legal term that means to owe. And so it means we are under obligation to Jesus. So the plan is to keep your obligation to Jesus. When John says you ought to walk as Jesus, you should keep your obligation to Jesus. Because why? Because you owe him. And what is it that we owe Jesus? It's your very life. You owe him all of yourself. And why is that? Because he gave all of himself for you. For you to be forgiven, for you to enter into a relationship, fellowship with the Father in heaven, for you to enter into a place in this world where now you have a new life. You're no longer an enemy of God, but now you are a follower of God. You're a worshiper of God, and therefore you have purpose in this world. You don't have to wonder what your purpose in life is anymore. Your purpose is to worship and to glorify God with the life that you live. In verse 28, John tells us, though, why this is so important. He says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So the message here is that Jesus is coming again. John is referencing the fact that there will be a second coming of Jesus. There was a first coming. He came as a meek leader among the Jews to present also, though, to the Gentiles, the love of God through Christ the Son. But that was the first coming. The second coming, the Bible is very clear that he doesn't come as a meek and lowly servant, even as he did in the first coming. No, he comes as the conquering king. He comes to bring judgment on the world. And so John says this is why you need to live a life of consistency in walking with Jesus, because there's a time coming where he will make us be accountable to the life that we've lived. And so he's teaching us that there's a certain way that we should live while we wait for his return or for him to call us home, whichever comes first. And so that is to be one who lives a life of consistency in walking with him. You should know the word abide is used more than 50 times in the Bible. And 15 of those times are in the book of 1 John, and 10 of those are actually in the second chapter of 1 John. And so what that means is that John is just really hitting this hard. And I think the reason why he's hitting this topic or this subject, using this word so much, hitting it so hard, is because he knows how hard-headed we can be. He knows how absent-minded we can be. And so he's reiterating this. He's given us repetition and using it again and again so that we understand that there's no room for excuses regarding this. Now, admittedly, though, a consistent walk with Jesus is very difficult to do. It's very difficult to maintain. Now, we can do a lot of good things. And I'm sure many of us have and still continue to do. We do many, many good things with our lives in short periods of time. As long as it doesn't require an extended period of time, we're okay when it comes to a lot of subjects. But we don't often do so well when we're talking about being consistent over long periods of time. Not consistently good. We can be consistently bad over long periods of time. We're really good at that. But being consistently good, consistently walking with Jesus over long periods of time, that's not so easy to do. Another example of the fact that we are not so good at doing things long-term consistently is every January we make our resolutions, right? And the first 2 weeks of January, we're all excited and we're well on our way to the race. And then it happens about mid-January and the last 2 weeks of January, we tend to start to drift off. And by the time we get to February, we don't even remember that we made a resolution in January. And we meant well, and it was a great idea, but we just didn't follow through. And so if you're wondering what this looks like to live a life of consistency with Jesus, John is laying it out for us here. He says that 15 times in this chapter, or rather in this book of his, and 10 times in this chapter, he's pointing out the importance of continuing with Jesus. And how do we do it? Verse 6 says, we look at how Jesus lived his life, and we do the same thing he did. After all, we bear his image. That's what Genesis chapter 1 says, we were made in his image. But not only do we bear his image, we also bear his name. We call ourselves Christians, and Christian means Christ ones or little Christs. So if we look like him and we carry his name, then we should do what he does. I hope you'll agree with that. Now, among us, I understand that there are many skills, many expertise represented right here in this very room. As I look out across this place, I see evidence of expertise in the medical field. I see expertise in agriculture and farming and administration and finances and business. I see also experts in manufacturing and mechanics and so many other things right here, just represented among us that are here. But I am convinced that those of us who bear the image and carry the reputation of Jesus Christ in our life, that we should know more about walking with Jesus than we do about anything else in this world. But is that true of you? Is that true of us? Have you set your heart out to learn how Jesus walked? The way that you set out to learn the things that you have now began to practice as a career? How many hours of study? How many degrees did you have to get to be where you are? How many hours of on-the-job training did you have to get to where you are? There was a persistence, there was a dedication, there was a commitment on your part to learn the skill set necessary to get you where you are. Or if you're not there yet, you're working on that right now. But my argument to you this morning is simply that if indeed you are an image bearer of Jesus Christ, which we've already established that, and you have the reputation of Jesus Christ, that is still a question mark for some of us, though. If, in fact, you are a reputation carrier of Jesus Christ. But if you are, then you should set your hearts on the things that Jesus' heart was set on and do the things with your life that Jesus did with his life. Why? Because this is your greatest responsibility in this life that you live, is to walk the way that Jesus has walked. It should be your greatest love. This should be your greatest desire. So it should be what you put the most emphasis and the most effort in your life. And you would be so right to ask the question again, but how do I do that? And the answer is right in front of you. For some of you, the answer is sitting in your lap right now. And for others of you, it's in the pew right in front of you. For others of us, it's on the coffee table at home, or it's on the nightstand beside your bed, or it's on a shelf in your house. Somewhere, God has given it to us through the Holy Scriptures. You say, what is the way? How do I follow Jesus? It's written for us, plain, in the Holy Scriptures. Passed down from generation to generation for thousands of years. Particularly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels, we call them. And when you weave each of these Gospel accounts together, you have the clearest picture of what it was that Jesus was most excited about. What it was that Jesus was most determined to do. And how he did it. And therefore also, friends, how you too can live a Christ-like life. But you'll never get there. You'll never do this if you don't know who Jesus is. And you're not going to know who Jesus is or much about him if you're not engaging in what has been recorded about his life. I can't tell you everything about how to walk with Jesus over the course of a Sunday morning, even for a year's worth of Sunday mornings. I can't do that. And so you need to make this a part of your passion. You need to determine that you will set out on this journey yourself to write the Word of God on your heart so that you can know Jesus in the way that he wants to be known through Scripture. And as you learn more about him and you do write God's Word on your heart, and it's always on your mind, once this happens, more and more there'll be a transformation taking place in your life. That transformation may not happen on a rapid scale, but at the very least, little by little, there'll be transformation happening in your life. And you'll begin to notice things about your life where Jesus is all of a sudden appearing in your life. You yourself will give the appearance of Jesus, not that you are Jesus, but you'll give the appearance of Jesus, the representation of Jesus to others in your life. For example, you'll learn as you begin to study God's Word what it really means to love other people. Look at verse 9 in 1 John chapter 2. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Do you hear what John is saying? Do you know what John is saying here? That if you want to know that you are a little Christ, that you are one of Christ's, you've got to be willing to love others through your disagreements with them. You've got to be willing to humble yourself so that you can give forgiveness to them. In 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to fast forward two chapters on you real quickly, but we'll come back to chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, listen to what John says here as he writes, "If someone says to you, 'I love God and I hate my brother,' he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So, whoa. John doesn't beat around the bush, does he? Again, John is hitting this hard. Why? Because he wants us to understand it's not misinformation. You know, that's what our media tells us about lies. It's misinformation. No, he doesn't call it that. He says if it's a lie, you are a liar. And he says you can't love God and hate someone else. That makes you a liar. So it should be coming so much more clearer to us that to walk the way Jesus walked, we need to be growing consistently in the way that we care for one another. Now look back at chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Who doesn't want to overcome the wicked one in their life? I mean, that's the question every day of our life, right? How do I overcome the temptations of this world? Well, as you write the Word of God into your mind and into your heart, as the Word of God becomes more and more part of you, part of your life, it creates a strength within you. It brings about a wisdom necessary to be able to overcome. It brings about, too, a confidence in your life to be able to overcome the temptations and the fears, as well as the worry and the distractions that so face every single one of us, every single day of our lives. Did you know that the Word of God can become so prominent in your life, in your walk in this world, that the answer to every question in life will be able to be answered by Scripture in your own mind and heart? In other words, the Word of God will fill you of what is right and how you should respond. But there's more to it than just knowing how to respond. Verse 17 tells us that the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So this deals with the matter of consistency regarding our cooperation with God. So not only should we seek God for knowing how we should respond in any given situation, but once we receive that knowledge, then we have to put that knowledge into play, into practice, and we have to do it. So again, though Jesus is our example in all of these matters, we walk in the will of God just as our great Lord and Savior did himself. You see, Jesus didn't come to the earth to do his own thing. I hope you realize that. There was nothing that Jesus did on any day of his life that we know about, nothing that he ever did that was on his own. Everything that he did was according to Scripture. And what that means is that everything Jesus did every day of his life was in accordance to his Father's plan, the Father's plan. In John chapter 4, verse 34, this is the Gospel of John, not this letter of 1 John that we're in, but going back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that John's Gospel. In 4th chapter and 34th verse, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying that I get up every day, and the thing that drives me every day, the thing that motivates me every day, the thing that keeps me simply going is the plan that the Father has for my life. It is to do the will of the Father. But do you know why he did this? You might could argue there's several or many reasons why he did this, but I believe that at least one of the greatest reasons why Jesus did this was because he came to show us the example of what our lives, our cooperation, our fellowship with the Father in heaven should be like. He came to show us that it's possible that you can live the way that the Father wants you to live. And it's all recorded very carefully in page after page of the Holy Scriptures. That you feed on God's Word, and then you act on God's Word, and you fulfill God's work. You finish God's work in your life. The Bible really is our instruction book for life. The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ showing showing us how to walk in this world. And in that revelation, that makes the Bible also the revelation of the will of God. Not only is Jesus revealed, but the will of God is revealed through the Word of God. And you don't get that revelation. You don't understand it. You don't comprehend that revelation until you pick that Bible up that sits on the table or on the shelf in your home, and you begin to study that word to know, to really know who Jesus is and how he lived. Next, we see in verse 24, he says, "You heard the word at the beginning when you were saved." But the question for us today is that word of God that you've already heard, is that word, is that practice of Jesus' life, is it still continuing in your life today? And with that, we consider the question, am I walking with Jesus? Am I walking with Jesus still? Or have I taken a detour? Have I began to fall off the Father's path for my life? And if that's you, I hope to give you a word that will be of some encouragement to you today, because continuing, as the Bible says, is the necessity in our life, in our relationship with God. Continuing is, though not necessarily, the absence of all detours in our life. And so what I'm saying to you is that the fact that you may have taken a detour does not mean that you can't get back on track. Because continuing means that after you have detoured, that you do just that. You get back on the right road in following Jesus. Even in the hall of faith, it's called Hebrews chapter 11. We have example after example of those major players in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, of faithful people to God. And yet, with each one of those faithful examples that God gives us in that hall of faith or the chapter of faith, not one of them did they walk in complete and perfect submission to God every day of their life. Some of them had detours. Some of them had detours we don't even know about, but they had detours in their life. But here's why they're in the hall of faith, is because even though they had detours in their life, they all came back to that path and followed the steps that the Lord wanted them to follow. So if you've not been walking where Jesus wanted you to walk, then you can return to him right now. You can turn it around and not be ashamed. Because I think there's another question that's really pertinent here, that if Jesus were to return today, and we know that his return can happen at any time, I believe that that can be the case. And if that's true, if Jesus can return at any time, if he returned today or tomorrow, would you be ashamed before him? But John doesn't want us to be ashamed. John says, I want you to have confidence. And this is how you have confidence. You can say to the Lord, Lord, I know that I've been taking the bypass around the town that you wanted me to follow you through. And I did that for a couple of reasons. I did it because I didn't want to slow down with my life. I didn't want to have to stop at all the stoplights in town. That's what bypasses are for, right? Why bypasses go around town so you don't have to slow down and get involved in that congestion. A bypass around Greenville will save you at least 10, if not 15 minutes if you're on a road trip. But to say to the Lord, I've been on this bypass because I didn't want to have to slow my life down. I didn't want to have to stop at the stoplights in town, but I thought that I knew a better way, or I could find a better way to get me where I wanted to be. But you have to scratch that and you have to say, Lord, now I'm realizing that I don't need to be on the path that will get me to where I want to be. I need to be on the path that will get me to where I need to be. And where I need to be is abiding with the Father in his word, doing the Father. Father's will. Know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us at that judgment seat, we will receive the things that we have done in the body according to what we have done, whether it was good following Jesus or whether it was bad not walking with Jesus." And I don't want to be ashamed when I enter that place called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I'm giving myself. Would you make this your prayer that, Lord, I'm giving myself to consistently obey your word, to consistently walk with you for the long haul, not just in short periods. I don't want to keep taking these detours. And so, Father, I want to be this in a faith that the word of God is the most natural thing about my life. That sinning, giving into temptation, following my own way, that's not the most natural thing about my life. No, the Word of God becomes the most natural part of my life. And so again, the Apostle John said it this way, "He who abides in him ought to himself also walk as Jesus so walked." And friends, if we'll do what John has said to do, it will revolutionize our life. It will revolutionize. It will change your family. You need the dynamics in your home life, in your marriage. You need that to change. This is where all the real change that is good and necessary takes place. It's with the Word of God. Faithfulness to this Word of God. And it will revolutionize our lives, and so we will not be the same person. We'll move from a state of complacency toward a state of perfection. And we'll move from a place of selfishness toward a state of perfection. And we'll move from a place of unholiness in our life toward a state of perfection. I'll move from being like John to being like Jesus. And you'll move from being like you to being like Jesus. Because here's the thing, I don't need to be like John anymore. And you don't need to be like you anymore. We need to be like Jesus. And me being like John, that's never going to cause me to walk like Jesus walked. You being like you is never going to cause you to walk like Jesus walked. And so I need to die to myself so that Christ can live in me, and so do you. Because otherwise I'll never be able to do for the kingdom of God what the Father in heaven so wants, so purposes for me to do in the kingdom of God. And I'll leave this world to be judged by God, not having done the work that He wanted me to fulfill with my life. But if I have an unrelenting determination, an unrelenting commitment, dependence on the Word of God, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, if I am dependent on that, on Him, He'll lead me to be like Jesus. He'll lead me to walk in resurrection power, knowing, believing, knowing that I can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens me. And to live a life that will astonish others. Because John says, walk like Jesus walked. You realize Jesus, every day that He walked, He lived a life astonishing people. That was how He walked. He walked in a way that astonished people. And now John is telling us that you and I, we should be walking in a way that astonishes people. But again, you can't do that if you're still you and I'm still me. There's nothing astonishing about John, I promise you. But there's something very astonishing about John who walks with Jesus. And there's something very astonishing about you who walks with Jesus. So friends, let us walk like Jesus walked, just as we ought to, for we owe Him. I owe Him everything, and so do you. So let us walk as He walked, just as we ought to. Today, do you need to take a step back and look at your life to ask this question? Am I, have I, do I walk the way that Jesus walked? Do I even know what that means? If you have not known what that means, come to this point today. I hope that you now see the imperative need that you would devote yourself to studying the way that Jesus walked. So that not only do you now have the knowledge of how Jesus walked, but now that you will obey and you will walk the way that Jesus walked. And if you need to surrender your life to Jesus, this is the place to do it. Now is the time to do it. If you're ever going to live the Christian life, right now is the time to do that. And so as we sing our song of invitation, if you need to come and surrender your life to Christ Jesus, our Lord, I want to help you with that. If you need to make your salvation known to others today, let us celebrate that with you. If you believe God's calling you to become a part of this church, to serve here with us, let's celebrate that together today here. But I ask you again in closing as we stand to sing, are you walking the way that Jesus walked? To bring some change into your life through His Word.